We'll go ahead and get started. Our next presenter is Scott Stewart, presenting a comparison of heart stack and bucket style moth traps for bollworm. So take it away, Scott.
Thank you, Steve. Now you can see my co-authors here, Sandy Steckel, who's my extension associate. Dr. Kearns helped with this in Louisiana, Nick Sider and Gus Lorenz in Arkansas. And the title pretty much tells you what I'm going to do. You know, we're going to compare the traditional Texas style trap, everybody calls them the heart stack trap, versus the universal bucket traps, and how well do they compare for monitoring bollworm populations. That is a picture of Albert Hartstack right there. I actually had the pleasure of knowing him when I was doing my master's project at Texas A&M. On the left there, you can see the Hartstack trap. I think most everybody's familiar with them. Large wire trap, pretty much has to be handmade. On the right, you can see the universal moth trap, bucket trap, whatever you want to call them. The Hartstack trap traditionally has been used to monitor tobacco budworm, corn earworm, and some other pests like fall armyworm. A lot of times we will use those bucket traps to monitor other things. I use them, for example, to monitor southwestern corn borer and corn. They're very efficacious for doing that. In the CAPS program, where they're looking for invasives, they use bucket traps quite a bit to monitor a number of pests, including the old world bollworm. So why did we want to do this, or why did I want to do this? It's pretty simple. I mean, these wire heart stack traps are $250 a piece. The bucket traps are $10 a trap. The transportation, when you're going to put these things out, you know, you can get about 6 or 8 of those wire traps in the back of a truck. You got to take a trailer or something like that. You can get tons of them in the bucket. It's hard to even find the heart stack trap. You have to find somebody that's willing to make it for you. The quality of them varies quite a bit. They're harder to run than the bucket traps. When they get blown over or knocked down, they're of course more expensive to replace. And I get tired. I lose 4 or 5 every year. Somebody steals them. You know, and all of a sudden you're down $1,000 and you got to go replace them. It's not such a big deal when the trap costs $10. And I'm told that the Hartstack trap makes a pretty good minnow and crawfish trap. But nobody steals the bucket traps for those. So the protocol was pretty simple. We put out 3 traps at a number of locations. At each location, we had 3 traps. We had a heart stack trap with 1 lure. We had the bucket with 1 lure. And then we had a bucket with 2 lures. And we kind of went into this knowing that the buckets didn't catch as much as a heart stack trap. So we wanted to see if you baited them twice, maybe you could overcome that. We had, 24 trapping locations. 12 in Arkansas, 6 in Louisiana, 6 in Tennessee. Moths, the traps were run weekly. The moths were counted weekly. Of course, we used the Helicoverpa lure, the Hercon lure. All the bucket traps had the Vapona kill strip in there as well. Our trapping period ran, depending on the location, from mid-May to mid-September, but almost everybody ran their traps primarily June through August. Just some kind of real quick points I want to make. Overall, we ended up with 353 location by date observations. We caught almost 23,000 moths, so it's a pretty good sized data set. Louisiana tended to catch more moths than anybody. Arkansas caught more moths than Tennessee. We actually had a very light moth flight in Tennessee this year. We caught about half of what we usually do. But traditionally, we don't catch as many moths as you'd expect to see in Arkansas and Louisiana. But you can see that represented here. For the most part, most of our moths were caught in July and August. And you can see the average weekly trap catches in the Hartstack trap, and you can see right away how they compare. We caught over 4 times as many moths in the Hartstack traps versus the bucket traps, whether we baited it with 1 or 2 lures. But again, we kind of knew that going in. That doesn't necessarily mean you can't use the Hartstack trap or the bucket traps to monitor populations if they correlate pretty well and there's a good correlation. Maybe there's some opportunity still to use those bucket traps. So here's just a real snapshot of the data. This is showing you a correlation between a bucket trap, actually both bucket traps, and the Hartstack traps. What more do I need to say? It's a very clear relationship. Actually, the p-values, whether you look at a 1 lure or 2 lure, are very, very significant. We had a lot of data. They're less than 0.0001, but the R-squares are 0.02, 0.04. We're essentially not explaining anything. It looks like there's no relationship at all. So obviously, we need to do something more than just looking at this data this way. So what I did is I said, well, I'm going to categorize the data. It was pretty noisy. And the way I categorized it is I said, well, if I'm going to compare the heart stack to a bucket trap, I'm going to classify the data. I'm going to calculate the average number of moths I caught. Anytime I caught less than 3 moths, from 0 to 3 moths in the heart stack trap, I'm going to calculate the average number of moths I caught there, and then I'm going to calculate the average number I caught in the bucket anytime the heart stack trap caught 3 or less. And I classified it this way, just kind of broke that way. You can see the number of observations we had in each data set. And I did the same thing for comparing the buckets to each other as well. I classified the data. This cleaned it up quite a bit, as you'll see. Before I even show you that data, you can already see some trends or hints in this. If you look at the average trap catches in the heart stack versus the bucket baited with 2 lures, what you'll notice is the buckets caught pretty much just as many as the heart stack traps, or sometimes a little bit more when the trap catches were low. But once you got into high moth catches where you're catching higher number of moths in the heart stack traps, the bucket traps kind of flattened out. They didn't go any higher. So this is kind of the cleaned up version. That's the graph I previously showed you. This is showing you the relationship between the heart stack traps and 1 lure. This is showing you the relationship between the heart stack trap and 2 lures. And you can see if you start doing the regressions on those mean classified trap averages, it cleans up the data quite a bit. And really what you see is there's a very nice linear relationship between what's caught in the heart stack trap and the bucket traps up to a point. And once you get to the point where those heart stack traps are catching more than 100 moths per week, the bucket traps pretty much just flattened out. It's kind of interesting to speculate why, and I may do that in a minute. Now, the bucket traps correlated better with each other. Even if you look at the raw data, you can see there's a better relationship between the bucket traps, 1 lure versus 2 lure. And if you use the classified data and use the averages, it's almost a perfect correlation right there. And if you had a chance to study this data, it's kind of similar. What you see is the buckets baited with 2 lures tended to catch a little bit more when the moth traps were very low. But as your moth traps got higher, there really wasn't much of a difference between the two. Yeah, I'm going to have plenty of time on this presentation, and I thought I would. A couple of things I noticed in the data set I really can explain. So if you look on a state-by-state basis and you look at average trap catches in the heart stacks versus the buckets, and in this case I just took the mean of 1 or 2 lures to compare it. In Louisiana, there was a ratio of about 11.4 to 1. So for every 11 moths you caught in the heart stack trap, you caught 1 in the bucket trap. When you went to Arkansas, that ratio really changed quite a bit. It dropped about 2.5. And in Tennessee, it was somewhere in the middle. I'm not really sure I can explain that, but if I look at this data, you know, why would the bucket trap plateau? I'm not really sure what's going on. There's a couple of things that come to mind. One is maybe the moths are actually competing to get in that bucket, and when you have a lot of moths flying around, they're interfering with each other. My best guess is when you start getting a lot of moths in the bucket, you know, they start running into each other, they start getting agitated, and I think they may actually be escaping the bucket more when there's higher populations being caught in that bucket. But that's just my speculation, and that may explain a little bit of this, because keep in mind Louisiana caught more moths than the other states. So the conclusions are pretty simple. The heart stack traps caught considerably more moths overall. The buckets did better, or did as well, or sometimes a little bit better when the moth catches were low in the heart stack traps. But man, really, once you got more than 10 or 20 moths per week in the heart stack traps, those bucket traps just plateaued. The buckets were much worse than the heart stack traps when your trap catches were higher. Double baiting helped a little bit, but it really didn't change a whole lot. The average moth catches in the buckets plateaued at about 20 moths. Now, we had individual buckets that caught 75, 80 moths, but when you looked at that classified data, you know, it pretty much plateaued at about 20 moths. So what's this mean? Well, I think it means that if you're trying to use bucket traps to monitor population size for the purposes of making IPM decisions, you're going to be disappointed. You're really not going to be able to tell when you have a really big moth flight going on. Now, if you're using them to monitor invasive insects like old world bollworm, it looks like it'd be pretty adequate, because you don't expect to be catching thousands and thousands of those insects. You know, you expect those to be occurring at low populations. And again, I can't really explain why all that occurs, but Yeah, it's a little disappointing. I didn't want to keep spending $2,000 a year replacing traps and stuff like that, but I'm not real surprised about the results. With that, I got plenty of time. I knew I would with this presentation. I'll be glad to answer some questions, and I see Dr. Cook has one in the back of the room. It could be done. You know, and they're very good for southwestern corn borer. I don't know if it's a behavior thing with the moths. It's really interesting why they would plateau like they do. And I almost wonder if it's an escape thing where they're actually escaping. I could probably modify that bucket trap so it's not quite so easy for them to escape. And I was thinking about trying that next year. Yeah, yeah, and we see that routinely with southwestern corn borer. When we get a big fly, I filled those things up dang near. Yes, sir. Well, if I understand your question, I don't think so. I think the problem is once you start catching more than 7,500 moths in the hardstack trap per week, those buckets are just going to plateau, and they're just plateauing, and you don't know whether you're catching, you know, when the hardstack trap is catching 1,000. That's a big difference. You know, that's a big moth flight, and we use that to make IPM decisions. So, you know, I might continue to play with this a little bit and try to make these bucket traps work a little bit. I've got to figure out why they're not going to work. In fact, one of my thoughts is because I'm stealing an idea from Angus, but I'm going to put a trail camera up on that thing and see if those moths are actually escaping or not entering. Angus, good. I see several. What you got? And emptied them?
Yeah.
That's a good thought. Yeah, yeah. That's a good thought. Of course, if you're running a trap line and you're putting miles on, it's a problem, but that's a good thought. Yes, sir. Well, it probably wouldn't be if there was somebody, if they weren't being custom manufactured, but that's pretty much, you have to find somebody, give them the plans, and it is hard to explain. I mean, there's not that much material in them, but there is a fair amount of labor in them, and it's not like there's a lot of competition. Pretty much there's one or two sources. Jeremy.
What do you think would happen with a larger plastic bucket, like a 5-gallon bucket?
Another great question, and might be worth a shot, yeah. It would be easy to design something like that, just experimental. Yeah. Yeah, so we had 24 locations. At each location, we had all three traps.
So we have a little bit of a choice there, or you have one or the other?
When we run these traps, we're aware that they compete with each other to some extent, and the protocol actually said try to keep them 50 feet apart, but there's still some competition there. I'm not sure if that would change the results if you ran them independently or not. Okay, I managed to eat up most of the time. Thanks.
Very good.